Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 16th of September. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, "Beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak," or a cause of offense to those who are weak. Yesterday we closed by talking about that liberty in context of Galatians 5. Same author, different audience, Paul writing to the church at Galatia. Galatians 5:13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Let's get context. Sneak back to verse 7. "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion doesn't come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why would I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Christian liberty in Galatians 5, Paul uses within the context primarily of circumcision. That's how the chapter starts, that circumcision is nothing for you. You're in Christ. And you are no longer justified by the law. If you try to be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Faith works, but faith works, Galatians 5:6, through love. So it's not only that you're not circumcised, it's that your faith is in he who has circumcised your heart. And out of that comes love, a love that is the fulfillment of the law. So to use your liberty, because you have it, to not be circumcised, or all of the other things that liberty might entail, is not so that you can prove to people you are free, but so that you can use your liberty as an opportunity to love your neighbor in a way that the law could never equip you to do. And that is a crucial understanding of what the finished work of Christ is all about. Consider for a moment how the Apostle Paul talks about the law being fulfilled and established at the same time. Think about this from Romans 3:31. This is a text that gets used sometimes. I don't know if this is the right way to say this, but the best way I know how. Romans 3:31 is a text that gets used against grace. Here's Romans 3:31. "Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." And people have taken that, no context, take that verse and say, Paul thought that your faith doesn't void out the law, but rather it simply adds to the law. So you should keep keeping the law, which is a weird argument for people because no one arguing that keeps the law, not the Jewish law. But I think they try to differentiate between the sanitary, dietary, formulaic law, and the moral law. And they go, well, you're still under obligation to keep moral law. What Paul is saying, let's read it again. "Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." The law is abolished, but it's not by being pronounced invalid, but because it's met its accomplishment in the gospel. In other words, faith isn't what eradicated the law. Faith is what confirms the holiness that the law hoped to accomplish. So think about this. Jesus accomplished the law. How? By loving people. The law demanded that you love people, but the law doesn't equip you to love people. The best the law can do is cross to the other side of the road when it sees you bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road. That's why the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan had nothing to offer the beaten man. He's been beat up by the system. Thieves and robbers. Jesus said, thieves and robbers are those who come any other way but me. So the systems beat him up. The same system has no medicine for him because the law beats you up on performance but has no medicine to heal you. So the law demands you love people, but it doesn't equip you to love people. Faith in Christ accomplishes this. Thus, faith in Christ establishes what the law demands. Therefore, in scriptures like Galatians 5, where Paul warns you against using your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but rather through love serve one another, I think what Paul is saying is, you're free to do whatever. But remember, the purpose of this entire thing is to love people. So if by doing whatever you don't love people, that should be perceived as a problem. And you should reevaluate what you're doing. So we circle the wagons back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. I would like to say this. This is the one thing I thought about as I was dwelling on this text before I hit record today. Because I knew, you know, I understand all that about the law fulfilled and love's the end game, and the law can't help you to love, and that's a fact. The law straight up can't help you to love. All it does is force you to act in a way you might act if you loved. Like, for instance, don't covet, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Well, you may not agree with any of that, but as long as you do it, you've at least acted in a way that you might have acted if you loved people. The law, however, can't change your heart. That's the point of the Sermon on the Mount. You can brag that you didn't do anything, but you don't love people any more than if you had done it. And that's a problem. And the New Covenant takes care of that by transforming the heart. But the one thing that I really, that crossed my spirit, my mind, before I hit record was, why nobody's talking about the fact that you get to use your liberty? You know, beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block. It's your liberty. Use your liberty not for an occasion to the flesh, but through love serve one another. It's your liberty. You get to use it. Why would you not? I'm not talking about what people take that to the extreme immediately. They're like, oh, well, do you think we should just go out and do whatever? I mean, why do we have to take liberty and run it to the worst possible scenario? Why is the only way we can explain liberty to explain what not to do with it? Why is no one talking about what you get to do with it? You get to be free. You get to be artistic and expressive and adventurous and imaginative and passionate. And you get to be all of those things about whatever it is that puts the twinkle in your eye. You should be using that. You should be living that every day. What is that? I don't know. I don't know what it is for you. But whatever it is, it seems as if you better find it. Because you only get to do this once. And it would be best to do this from a place of passion, instead of passivity, and certainly instead of a place of fear where you're scared to try because you might fail. Use your liberty. Find a way today to take advantage of the fact that you are free. And there's no reason to cross the line of offending someone else and forgetting to love them. That's not an expression of your liberty as much as it is your ignorance or your rebellion. And I don't think you're either. Tomorrow, we move on to the 10th verse of 1 Corinthians 8. See you then. God bless.